Shut up! The footy's on Triple M!
Now on Triple M Footy.
Now they're switched on.
This.
Who are you having a go at here?
Is the Midweek Rub.
Please just call me the Oracle from now on.
Triple M rocks footy.
The best and worst of James Sicily gave us 43 and a suspension, while Paddy Cripps' hotel room raised some unwarranted contention. Toby Green, in Game 200, conquered the Cats at their home den, while the Power jump into second on the ladder under King Ken. Isaac Rankin again proves he's more than quite nifty, and Tim Taranto's, well, clearly in the league's top 150. To rip through all the news and views leading into Round 12, this is Triple M Footy's Midweek Rub with Saints Hall of Famer and Wild Rhino Ambassador Joey Montagna.
Hello, Rabsy. Just another quiet week in the world of AFL.
Absolutely, mate. AFL.com.au's big enchilada, Damien Barrett.
Nice one, Rabsy. I like it. You've been informed this year with that.
Thank you, mate. And old Paradian's leading goal kicker probably for the season, Daisy Thomas.
Yes, thank you very much, Rabbits. And well done. That's very, very good. Not easy to do, so well done. And as you say, Joey, a lot going on in the world of footy as we sit here on this Wednesday.
Yeah, we will get into all that. But how are you, first of all, after your old Paradians game? Are you still sore? Because yes. I know you couldn't walk in onto the Sunday Rub, but how are you now 3 days later?
It's all fun and games, and you put your hand up to go out and help out, and then literally can't get off the toilet seat. Like I've had to roll to the ground and then go up from there. It's not well. Things aren't good, but hopefully within the next sort of 3 to 5 working days, they'll come good.
But what is most sore?
My left knee, and I've never had issues with a left knee ever before, so not good signs. But we are talking about what was going on in the world of footy.
Yes.
And we often joke, Damo, and we have joked on this podcast about, or this segment, what you actually do in terms of your role. Are you a newsbreaker? Are you a news reporter? Do you go to press conferences anymore?
Yeah.
Is it fair to say that last night you were at dodgeball instead of being at a press conference, or was it just a near miss?
No. We managed to get the call in the right required time frame before it would have been an issue, I think, for me to deal with at some stage. Because as we probably do know, the Friday huddle, for some reason or other, I'm still not yet to be fully briefed on why we're doing it. We was playing dodgeball, and we'd scheduled it for last night, and I was really looking forward to that. But I knew, you just do what you do. Yep. And you put yourself out there when you have to.
So you were literally 5 minutes away from missing the biggest story since yesterday.
I jumped out of the shower. I was putting on the shorts and the runners. And I don't know what t-shirt.
Did you have a headband? Were you going to wear a headband?
I even managed to locate a strap for my glasses. Yeah, because they're going to come off. And I'll bring that in on Friday. So I was ready to go. And then I got this call saying, it wasn't confirmed, by the way, there could be something about the drop. You better get in. And I said, okay.
Oh, good.
And then I rang Snorkel saying, think to myself, he's not going to believe this excuse that I've got. But it's the best excuse I could have had. There's no ambiguity about it. And anyway, I would have been on the court, though, when Gillon McLachlan was talking press conference, had I not got that call when I did.
So Gillon McLachlan's up there. You're asking questions in your runners with your
coach. No. The call was timely enough for me to put a suit on and
that would have been
probably
funny. Yeah. Just look down and go, Damo, what are you doing?
Oh, sorry.
But I would have got there with my strap around the glasses.
Oh, yeah. Brilliant.
Gee whiz. But big night. So late night for you, or not too bad? We'll get into the specifics
too late
soon,
in the end, but obviously a lot to touch on. And as we do in this show, we like to talk a bit of banter first, and we'll get to the serious stuff in the segment, second and third and fourth segments. But a lot to play out still. And
you are dressed for business though today.
This is when we know that something's happening. And this used to be Ducks
attire.
But Ducks business attire.
Going out for a work
which
lunch.
Which men usually get home sometime before Friday.
Come on, wrap it up, boys. Got to get to lunch. I could say that, but no, I do have video requirements beyond this. So that's the reason for the collar and the jacket, which is not normally the case
looking
on a Wednesday.
Very sharp.
Midweek Rub, is it?
Very good. Very How'd your sharp. Tips go, by the way, this week, Dave?
An absolute dream run. I think I got 9.
You did not.
I can't wait till we get to the bottom, because I remember somebody being chips in on a side.
I can't believe I fell for it as well. We'll get to that.
We got it too, didn't I? That one, that same one.
Well, there is plenty of news, Damo. So let's get there quickly today. And we're going to start with Hawthorn next after the break. This is Triple M Footy's Midweek Rub with Joey, Daisy and Damo.
This is the Midweek Rub.
We like it when someone gives you a clip.
Stay in your lane, Damo.
Triple M rocks footy.
Plenty of news. The AFL had a press conference at 7:45 p.m. last night, Damo, about the Hawthorn saga.
It did, and we'll debate this today and have the conversation today after that outcome last night. And ultimately, 8 months of investigation amounted to nothing from a finding perspective, in that there was an official wording of no adverse findings against Alistair Clarkson, Chris Fagan and Jason Burton. The other takeout of it, amongst a few other takeouts, was the scope for the AFL to now look at Hawthorn. We'll delve into that in a moment's time. And equally, I think significantly from what happens next is the AFL has been able to negotiate its way out of any future involvement in claims and legal action is going to be taken out of it. And that were probably the three takeouts of a very lengthily worded statement last night.
Yeah, my first thoughts when I watched the press conference live was, you know, all the talk about how good Gil McLachlan is at negotiating outcomes and how well he has been able to manufacture this from the AFL perspective, really, because it feels to me, and correct me if I'm wrong, Damon, but it seems like he's been able to negotiate it so there can be nothing, no litigation against the AFL from the families.
And just on that, I'll jump in as you wade through this, and I agree with what you're saying there. It was worded, and he stressed it publicly that everyone has signed off on this and that they will not be party to any action from here.
Any action. So no action against the AFL. There's almost been in part of the negotiation for the families that no action against Hawthorn because the AFL, it feels like, and we'll get to that again, to take care of the sanctions against the Hawthorn Football Club. And they've now left it to basically an individual private matter. It is now up to the families. If they want to take this further with Bert, Clarkson and Fagan, that's up to them. And they can do that in the normal courts of law, that the Human Rights Commission or wherever they want to go. But in regards to the AFL and the AFL brand and the situation, it's all done. It's all finished and finalised.
I reckon you summarised that really well, Joey, the morning after the lengthy statement that came through. And that's what I see to be the case as well. And we've been saying for some time, Days, that what would happen next would go to the courts of the land. And the Human Rights Commission is something that we in footy media don't know a lot about. Mm. But ultimately, it's an adjunct of the federal court system in this country. And if you are to go down that path, and this side of the equation revolves around the people making the allegations and the accusations, the First Nations families, those claims and those cases would then need to be heard with identification of the people involved and the scrutiny
and
of
all evidence and everything
all
else.
All evidence on the table and counterclaimed and cross-examined. And that's a decision they need to make. And we've heard a lot about the possibilities of that. Equally, we've heard a lot about the potential for defamation from one of or all of Clarkson, Fagan, Bird. There's requirements there too, where everything is put on the table, it's cross-examined, and the dredging up of everything is too, may be a deterrent on all
and
of this.
And that is absolutely their rights.
That's their right.
All their rights.
Yep.
If they want to do that, they can go for it. That's fine.
If the AFL have now been passed off as doing everything right and the families have agreed, surely in those and what the rules they've gone through and what they've sifted through under the AFL's terms, surely they have to have elements and rights of the human rights laws?
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does.
In terms of, surely the AFL just aren't working outside general rules of human rights.
No,
they would be under the big banner.
As an organisation overseeing a large group of people beneath it, and they've made a decision under their own operations. It's got no legal standing like they did last night. And it never was going to. It was going to be a framework. And look, I asked the question of Gillon McLachlan last night about the hindsight component. Would he have set up the panel the way he did? And was there alternative or were there alternatives? And he said, look, I've thought about that every day or I've thought about it a lot. I'm not defensive of the AFL because I think it's dragged out way too long. But it wasn't their doing the way they received the information. And they needed to be seen to be independent at least, which they were. And there's a genuine attempt at that being the case. It became a shambles when nothing was able to be gleaned out of it. Yep. And it's taken 8 months. Now, where we are right now is where we may have and arguably should have been back in September and let it go down that path from the outset. Yeah. So the Hawthorn component,
now,
though, Joey.
Well, that's the question now. I mean, what's it going to look like for Hawthorn? Because Gil McLachlan, listening to the press conference, was pretty strong that there will be some sort of sanctions against Hawthorn. He didn't declare it, but let's take a listen to what he said in the press conference last night.
Well, that'll be a decision for the General Counsel and or the Commission. But obviously there's a broad range of rules, whether it be conduct unbecoming or bring the game into disrepute or whatever it is. I'm not preempting it, but I'm certainly not ruling that out.
And given that this has dragged on for 8 months, is this something that you would fast track so you don't have this drawn out any further?
I think that'll be something that's done in a reasonably expeditious manner.
And Joey and Daze, I've been pretty big on this, that this was always going to be linked back to the Hawthorn Football Club and its actions. And I've, for a long time, and I'm in a minority, maybe even this morning that and today, that I still feel draft picks should be at stake here. Now, just on that, people ask, what have they done wrong? And we'll get to Jeff Kennett. I know you want to talk about that too in a moment, Daze. Just before we do, this is Gillon McLachlan's take on what he's able to say now about where they are exposed to their sanctions.
I think that the process whereby allegations were aired without anybody having the ability to respond to them has provided an environment where there has been many parties, complainants and the defendants, put in a hugely vulnerable situation, and it's had an impact across the industry for, you know, all First Nations people and others. And I think that's something that needs to be contemplated.
Pick three, as it stands, is Hawthorn's first go in the draft. So that could be taken away from them.
Well, he refused to rule it out. Now, he also refused to rule it in, Days. And, and that's what's... Look, knowing the way the AFL works, I'd be staggered if they haven't thought of this right now. Yeah. Now, how that looks and how it's presented, when it's presented, how harsh it is, I don't claim to know. There's no guarantee there'll be draft picks removed. But I also believe strongly that fines, and they always, when they do fine, they then have a component of it being a suspended fine. They don't cut it to me.
Why can't they give
him
just a hefty fine?
I don't think it's a deterrent enough, and I don't think it's punishment enough. And Joey, just before we get on to Jeff Kennett and Days, the meeting of club presidents and CEOs, which is usually held in the minutes before the AFL goes public with matters like they did last night, that happened last night. There was controlled anger, as how I've had it described to me today, from multiple other clubs about Hawthorn's involvement in it. And it does go back to directly the fact that they commissioned this report with an outside consultant without proper control and parameters around it. And upon learning of the serious allegations, they're not giving those people a right of reply. Yeah. So that's the nutshell version of it. And Jeff Kennett, Days, has got a different...
Profoundly disappointed at the comments by the AFL CEO tonight is what he's come out in an official statement, said that he's written to all of the AFL commissioners asking for innocence and his ability to plead that on Hawthorn's behalf.
Yeah. Well, he's not for the first time being hypocritical in his approach to this, Days. In my eyes, he was chairman or president of the footy club at the time it commissioned the review without the proper parameters. I don't think anyone can argue that strongly these days. I will always say, in Hawthorn's defence, they instituted the investigation with good intent.
Good intent, absolutely.
But from that moment
poorly
onwards,
handled.
Poorly handled.
Yeah.
It was shambles.
And everyone agrees with that. It's universally sort of agreed that it was poorly handled.
Yep. And the clubs last night said, look, we've had 8 months. You've ended up presenting nothing to us other than Hawthorn's the problem. You make sure you sanction them.
If it ends up being draft picks, this is going to be a huge kick in the backside for Sam Mitchell and what he's been promising to do and hoping to do in terms of a rebuild. Because if you lose a couple of picks in the top 20, that sets you back another couple of years as a footy club.
I don't think draft picks are fair. I think draft picks, Damo, should be taken away when a club tries to get an unfair advantage on the competition. So like the Essendon situation where they're, you know, trying to maybe get an unfair advantage, or if you're deliberately caught tanking or something. But for something like this, I hope it's just a substantial fine maybe, and everyone learns their lesson and moves forward.
And the option also too would be to make it a second round or third round or whatever. But again, all you can do is ask the question.
Yeah.
And the AFL, have a look at the wording officially of we reserve the right or we have the access to significantly sanction. Yeah. I mean, that's their words. No one's speculating about that.
Unless it's the maximum penalty though, the discussion then comes how seriously are the AFL taking this?
Well, that's also true.
If it's a 100 grand fine, or you give them a third round draft pick, and people go, well, what's that worth?
That's
Does it actually
true.
Penalise anyone?
Yep.
The other one we're talking about, and on a slightly lighter note, was the Paddy Cripps and Caroline Wilson incident.
So explain that. What's happened?
Well, so it was on Footy Classified, I believe, Monday night, that Caro came out and said that Paddy Cripps and Sam Doherty had stayed at a boutique hotel the night before the game. Has then come out.
Separate from their teammates.
Separate from the teammate. Paddy Cripps came out on his social media and had a fair old swipe, saying, not directly, but sort of in a wider sense, that have a go at him about form, have a go at him about the club's win-loss, but never come after my character or my commitment to this footy club. It's later come out that he did stay with the club. And Caro, and I like this about Caro, she rang up, got in touch with Paddy Cripps and apologised. Mm-hmm. Got it wrong, and we're going to get things wrong in the media, but I do like the fact she put her hand up and said, got it wrong. Interesting how it's come out and been reported in the aftermath as to, was she working for Nine or The Age at the time? I did have a chuckle at that.
So you're referring to what Nine did yesterday?
Well, they might have put out a statement, Joey, saying that said The Age is Caroline Wilson, albeit it was said on a Nine program.
Look, these things, is it fair to say they can happen with journalists? You can
they
make
do.
Mistakes.
And Joey, I've got it wrong too.
If you're getting fed information that's incorrect.
Yeah.
And if you make a mistake, do that. Put your hand up.
That's
say
right.
You got it wrong. Front foot it. Go out and then own it.
It has been easy, though, for people that don't like Caro to pile in on her, which is people have taken advantage of.
Well,
this
is why I respect Caro as a journalist, because she does. If she gets it wrong, she owns it and makes amends pretty quickly.
Of all the problems that the Paddy Cripps and the Blues have got, that was just one he didn't need, though, was it?
No.
To be accused of not being
all in. I did think that at the time I was watching the footy class, I thought, geez, that's strange that Doc and Cripper would stay at a separate hotel. I think, that's weird. And then it was good that it was cleared up because, it was a strange suggestion to make.
What about the mid-season draft, Joey? You're all across tonight. This stuff. Exciting. This is the space you love.
You know
love.
What? I don't think it's exciting enough, to be fair.
Right.
I don't think it's that exciting.
Well,
we're getting. No. I mean, we're going to get some, maybe, what is it? Maybe 10, 12 players that are the best sort of players playing state league footy come to the clubs. How many of them are going to make a.
Will 5-2 on the weekend see my name read out?
Yeah, well, you're a chance. Have you got your name?
I'm still lodged.
Lodged? There you go.
I don't think you'd pass the vet check, though, would you? Right.
Damo, it's not really going to be that. Out. I know it's on AFL.com tonight, but it's not going to be, I don't think, that exciting.
It is on at 7 p.m. if you need to tune in. But
I agree, we need to get to a stage. We need mid-season trading. We need to be able to trade players from other clubs in-season. That would create much more interest.
Yeah, I agree with that. I like that idea.
It's inevitable.
I feel they're talking about moving toward that, but as always in the AFL system, slowly.
I think it's inevitable. It's part. Are you going to be part of the negotiations with the AFL and the players around the CBA right now? Okay, players, you want more money? That's okay, but there's got to be a bit of giving back, and we need to open this up a little bit more to help clubs like the Sydney Swans in particular. They'll be able to easily go and get a player that's not getting a game for another club as a key defender that could slot straight in for the Sydney Swans this week. Now they're talking about someone like an Oscar McDonald who's. Played a bit of AFL.
You could get Adam Tomlinson on the other hand.
That's right. There are players that are available. So I'd love to see it get to that level.
Would you take one of the Bulldogs who regularly get... I'm just throwing up a name. Ryan Gardner, who sometimes finds himself out of the team.
Yeah, Alex Keith being dropped in Sydney. Yeah. Well, we need him to try and have a crack at playing finals. There's a few of those options.
Absolutely. Does my boy Ryan Marrick go number one?
I think he does. Ryan Marrick's probably the best player outside the system at the moment. 19-year-old who... He's from Druin.
Yeah.
What is
You're
he
the king
now?
Of Druin.
What is he weighing? He's about 90 kilos now.
He got up to 107 in COVID eating Pringles.
Yeah. He was 107 kilos and now he's down to 90 and he's got some serious talent.
Yeah. Which is good.
That's a big weight loss.
Yeah. I wonder if he gets a game for West Coast.
Well, I think if he gets drafted,
don't
he'll
ruin
be
a fair dinkum off Fugazi.
Oh, is it?
Scratch that off the list.
We can edit that out, can't we?
Fair dinkum off Fugazi. Coming up next. This is Triple M Footy's Midweek Rub.
This is the Midweek Rub.
That can be described as one thing and one thing only. That is a genuine brain fart.
Triple M rocks footy.
We'll have a look at your round 11 predictions and then cast our eye towards round 12. But before we get there...
Now on the Midweek Rub, it's...
Joey Montagna, I know you haven't thought about this before, but if West Coast draft the marriage boy in the mid-season draft tonight, he'll play in round 30.
Good question.
Stop stealing content. Ryan Marrick, could he play for West Coast round 13? That's fair dinkum. I'd love to see them just throw him in on a half-forward flank and see how he goes. They can't do any worse.
Damo. That's fair enough. Damo, James Sicily playing an all-time great intercept defending game, but also getting suspended for a week is the most on-brand thing as it gets.
Absolutely fair dinkum, that one. Yeah. It just sums him up, doesn't it? Yeah. So grand in the game and then just a little brain fade where he picked up an elbow or a shoulder on Caminiti. It just summed him up. And then not even challenging it at the tribunal. Yeah, just straight through.
One of the great games, though. When I saw those numbers and I was obviously playing, I checked it, saw the numbers, I expected St Kilda to have kicked 20-odd points. They only kicked 6 or 7 points, so there wasn't a whole lot coming from the kick-outs.
Nope.
He was absolutely everything for the Hawthorn Footy Club on the weekend.
Daisy Thomas, yes. Fremantle can still make the top four.
I'll have to say fair dinkum because mathematically they probably can. Mm-hmm. Do I believe they will? No. I think they'll play finals. I think they're going well enough now to steady it and get themselves in that spot, and thankfully teams around them that are vying for the same position aren't going that well, talking your Geelongs and alike. So, yeah, I think they can make 8, but...
Top four is going to be tough, though. There's starting to be some separation now, isn't there, with those top four teams, particularly Collingwood, Brisbane, Port Adelaide now, and then there's maybe the one spot for a team like a Melbourne or someone to get on a roll, but starting to be some separation, absolutely.
Sean Darcy's hamstring injury, Joey, isn't a disaster with Luke Jackson in form.
Oh, well, that's fair dinkum. Of course, it's not. Luke Jackson can handle the number one ruck role on his own. I think he'll relish the opportunity, but... I would prefer to still see Sean Darcy in the side because Luke Jackson, a lot of his football that he was playing well was as a midfielder. He was obviously playing well as a forward and then still doing some great things as a pinch hit ruckman. He is the next big unicorn in the AFL. He'll take over blitz halves and probably do it even better for the next 10 years. But for a month, his shoulders are loading the ruck.
Do you subscribe to the theory of some, Kane Corns, for instance, that Sean Darcy's the one who should be traded out?
No, not at all. Oh, I think they've got a combination that is something different to the rest of the AFL, and you need to have a point of difference. And I think Sean Darcy rucking, and as I just said, Luke Jackson can play as a mid, like Mark Blitzarves. He can play as a forward. and then can pinch it in the ruck himself is a weapon that very few, or I think no other teams have probably got in the competition.
Sean Darcy showed over the first 8 weeks that he's arguably more important to that side than a Luke Jackson is. So he's someone certainly required.
Not picking on you here, Joey, because I know you just love footy, like getting in the first crack in the lab and all that. So I'm asking the hard questions.
Right, eh?
Port Adelaide need to start being taken more seriously as a premiership contender.
Yeah, that's fair, Nick. Absolutely, they can win the flag. There is no reason why. The challenge and the key with looking at a season is taking perceptions out of your head, what you think a team should be doing or where they are, and just look at facts. And they've won 8 straight. They're playing as good a footy as anybody. Absolutely, they can win the premiership. Ridiculous to think they can't. Now, I'm saying they will because only one team wins it, but absolutely they can.
Damo said last week, keep him unsigned for the season. You still believe that?
Well, keep him unsigned until the time it's been designated, that being August. They were firm on that being the case. And we discussed this last week. I think you agree with me. Yeah, the edginess that the unknown has created has allowed them to get to this point. I mean, don't tinker with it now. They're all on the same page, which is rare in footy, that this is the day and the time frame we're going to deal with it. Leave it.
Mm.
Daisy Thomas, Isaac Rankin deserves more love.
Yep, fair dinkum, 100% fair dinkum. I don't think we're giving this kid enough credit for how well he's going. I think there was a lot that were lining up to almost hope that it didn't go so well for him in his first year at Adelaide.
Were there?
I think there was. A lot of the talk was it was overpaid. Why would you be paying so much for a player who's untried?
Yeah, there was the conversation around the money, but not the talent, was there?
Well, it was sort of unseen, and which the part of it is, are you paying on what he's worth or are you paying on potential? The Adelaide Football Crows, you've got to tip their hat to them. They went and sourced him. He's playing unbelievable football club in one of the most dynamic forward lines in the business. And what he's done as part of that side to see them where they have, he's been a massive part. So he needs a lot more love than what he's actually getting. We're just going, oh, well, he's doing what we thought he'd do. But if it was the other way around, there'd be a serious pile on.
Damo, with 3 wins in a row at the venue, the Suns should play more at TIO in Darwin.
Yeah. But it doesn't change the... So that's, I'm saying this is for Ghazi because I like what I saw last week. I love what they did, but they've now got to back it up against the Crows this week at that same venue to which you're asking the question. Mm-hmm. They've just got to perform away from that venue in Darwin and then I'll be convinced.
100% they should. I think they should keep playing TIO. You've got to find a point of difference. You've got to find a competitive advantage in this competition. If they can make TIO Stadium Darwin a competitive advantage that other teams will struggle and they get wins, I think they should seriously look at playing more games there.
More than 2?
Yeah.
A year?
Yep.
Okay.
Now, I didn't write this. Rudy wrote this.
Oh, distancing.
Daisy.
Who's it for? Me.
Daisy. Damo bailed on dodgeball last night because he didn't want his spectacles broken, not because of Gil's presser.
Yeah, that's fair dinkum. It was just a coincidence that Gil had a presser at that time, the exact time that dodgeball started. I would have liked, I did see a bit of talent there, Damo, we've seen a little bit of a snippet.
Yep.
I think you would have handled yourself quite well, though.
I do, thanks, Dace. Yes. I appreciate that. I'm not sure I would have, and I'm sure my glasses would have been a target for someone. So.
Do you have like a cheap pair and a good pair of glasses?
Yep.
When are you going to wear the good pair?
And when you're playing that sort of stuff, you bring a spare pair.
Joey, Adam Chera got off last night, so there would be less pressure on Carlton if their on-field form was as close to their lawyer's tribunal form.
Oh, that's fair dinkum. Their lawyer is their most important player. Absolutely. He got Paddy Cripps the Brownlow last year. He's got almost their most informed player off at the tribunal
this
week.
Nick Newman off as well earlier in the year.
Yeah, that's it.
The technicality.
So, yep. He's the MVP, the Carlton lawyer.
I'll tell you what you don't want to be doing at the minute is tackling people with big hair. It looks so much more exaggerated. Hickey.
Well, that was used as an argument last night.
Well, I think it's fair, dinkum. Obviously, Jager O'Meara, his tackle on Spargo was it? He's
hair
got the big hair.
It
looks worse than what it is.
Damo, no one loves when Jay Clark gets something wrong more than BT.
What a question for you. Have we got a jumper clash out there? It's a lot of yellow on both the jumpers.
Well, one's got a strip of yellow and one is all yellow. I would have thought quite a lot of difference. It's got quite a lot of red and black in it as well. But if you're having trouble, Jay-Z, we'll let you know who's got it, mate.
Someone standing in front of you, Jay-Z.
Jesus Christ, Jay-Z.
That is absolutely fair, Dick. And I was in transition out of the box when that comment was made. And no matter what Jay said at that point in time, BT was going to take the opposite view. He was just in one of those moods and Jay-Z usually cops it. So love it.
Joey Montagna, Carlton's form has reached Northern UK.
Oh, absolutely gutted, to be honest. And to be honest, I think you guys are a bit too generous, especially you, Jay-Z. There's nothing poor about Harry Mackay. Nothing poor about him. I would absolutely love it if I could have his works like balance, so I could just rock up to work, do absolutely piss all, get paid a fortune, and then go home.
What's the question?
Well, that's fair form.
Oh, come on.
Northern UK. That was on Dead Set Legends. I just want to play it because I thought it was so funny.
I don't mind that.
Where was he calling in from?
He actually was calling in from Furtry Gully.
Via Manchester.
Yeah, via Manchester.
That's very good.
Daisy Thomas, the lizard is the best nickname in the competition.
Yes, that's fair dinkum. Trash Panda, if that takes off, will be close behind. But at the minute, the lizard is not only the best nickname, but the best fitting. He moves like a lizard. He somewhat looks like a lizard, and no disrespect for Nick, but he doesn't have shoulders. His little arms that come out, and you can just imagine him scurrying up a wall at some
stage. James Barrett reckon his tail fell off the way when he went too fast.
Well, you can see it as he walks. If he did have a tail and when he runs, it'd almost look better. It's brilliant. And he's playing some serious football as well.
Unbelievable. I'm going to finish with you, Damo. WA Premier Mark McGowan, one of the most popular in the history of Australian politics. Not even he could survive West Coast's terrible run of form.
Fugazi, as you say, 47 seats out of the 59 in that particular parliament. He's just choosing to do what a lot of people are doing now post-COVID and just taking a rest for mental health reasons.
And smelling the roses.
Smelling the roses, yeah, beautiful. Which we all would like to do if we could.
Not watching West Coast. Round 12, the first of the bye weeks, is coming up, kicking off on Friday night. We're going to get your predictions for that and have a look back at your predictions for round 11 as well. This is Triple M Footy's Midweek Rub. Joey, Daisy and Damo.
This is the Midweek Rub.
I don't think I've ever cheered so much for a football team that I don't really give a stuff about.
Triple M rocks footy.
The first of the bye rounds, round 12, kicks off on Friday night. Let's have a listen back to your predictions for round 11, Daisy.
I'll give Collingwood my certainty.
Yes.
Went out in the limb there.
Oracle. Beat North Melbourne. Yeah, well done.
No, I'll give you that.
Daisy Thomas is the Oracle.
Oh, mate, Joey Montagna was the Oracle last week. How'd you go this week?
Wait till you hear this one.
Damo?
Here's my certainty of the round. Port Adelaide.
Oh, really?
That was pretty decent.
Well done.
I can't remember doing that.
I'm pretty confident with Joey.
Carlton are my certainty in this one. Carlton are my certainty. Oh, I think that Sydney are the team that are really struggling. Their profile's horrible. Carlton, as you said, it's a must-win game. I think they'll bash them up around the midfield. Too big and too strong. Contested ball clearance game in the small SCG confines. And I don't think Sydney can defend Harry Mackay and Charlie Curnow. If Carlton don't win this, then I'm completely off them. But I've got still a tiny... just a flicker of faith in them, Damo, and I think this is the week they start to get rolling.
I've never done this. I'm changing that to after what he just said, right? I've gone back to what I said earlier in the week. I'm tipping Carlton for the record on this one.
Sorry, Damo.
Joey Montagna is.
I didn't mean to hit that.
Sorry, Damo.
You dragged me in with that.
To be fair, though, Mackay and Curnow did have 10 shots at goal between them. I didn't expect them to kick one out of their 10.
I've learned from this. So you just give your tip and you don't give reasons why. So I was going off there, sit and stare. Now you just, if you do that, you just look like a dill. Yeah. So just keep them very generic.
Not only did I change my tips on this show, I then went back to the AFL and asked them to change what I previously submitted. No, so you cost me that
Damo, they did have more inside 50s. They won the clearances and they had...
you and your champion that are rubbish. Who won the game?
Oh, I didn't realise Harry Mackay was going that bad in his head, but now he's cooked.
Let's launch into round 12. Damo's got a meeting to go to. Carlton versus Melbourne, Friday night, huge game.
Not falling for Carlton anymore. I've fallen into that trap. So Melbourne are actually going pretty well. Melbourne are not going as bad as people think, so they should win.
This is my own opinion, not yours, that I'm carrying off on. Melbourne as well. I've given Carlton the last chance, even though I gave them 15 last chances.
I'm going to tip Melbourne and will be probably made to look silly by the Blues. I think they can flip it in terms of, and they've worried about not being scored against too much. Mm. I think they just throw that out the window this week. And if they're going to score 106, we score 107 sort of stuff. And why not?
Fremantle's a good example. Fremantle 4 or 5 weeks ago, everyone was saying the exact same thing. Look at their
and we've seen the Blues.
Teams can turn it around.
The Blues could do it last year. They've just changed a little bit. So I'm going to tip Melbourne, but an upset wouldn't shock Rabbit.
Port Adelaide are in form. Hawthorn have been all right over the last couple of weeks. Have we given them any chance at all, Joey?
Port Adelaide, most certainly.
Yeah, Port will win.
Can I have them as a certainty?
Hawthorn a chance? Yes, but Port Adelaide for me.
West Coast versus Collingwood. Daisy, you've got a market at points bet that Collingwood win by 200 points against North Melbourne and West Coast. So they need to...
165 they need to win by this week. And it's not out of the realms of possibilities when Hawthorn win by 116. So apparently the flu's gone through the Pies again, so they'll be too good.
Bulldogs versus Geelong. That is another massive game, Joey.
It is, but this is my certainty, the Western Bulldogs, to win at Marvel Stadium. Cats are only just going. We know they've got injuries, but they are struggling. Bulldogs, after a little blip last week, will bounce back and win.
Yeah, I'm the same. I mean, I know they lost to Gold Coast last week, but they didn't do a lot wrong in it. And I think Geelong is just so banged up at the moment, they're just going to have a few more weeks of this problem.
I'm keen on the Cats in this one. Mm. I'm not sure why. I just think that they'll find a way. They very rarely lose four in a row. I don't think they've done that since 2006 was the stat that was banding around. So I think they're a proud footy club. I think they'll be aware of that. And even though they're banged up, I think they can get the Dogs.
Three wins in a row in Darwin, Damo. Gold Coast versus Adelaide.
This is a hard one. I'm so in on and all in on the Crows, so I'm going to stick with that until I have reason not to. So despite what we said before about the TIO Stadium component to this game, I'm going to go with the Crows.
Full credit to the Gold Coast Suns. They are one of the most underrated defences in the competition at the moment, going up against the most potent forward line. I think their defence can get it done. I'm tipping Gold Coast.
Crows have to win away to get some serious credibility in this industry at the minute. They haven't been able to do so. The only win they've had away is against the Hawks. I think they win against the Gold Coast Suns.
North Melbourne didn't look that bad against the Pies, particularly in the last quarter. They come up against Essendon on Sunday, Joey.
They're giving North a chance, loving their young midfield. I think when it clicks for North Melbourne, it'll come in a hurry. They are not that far away. It's not going to be this year, but they'll push Essendon. Whether they're good enough to win, not sure.
I'm a bit the same, but Bombers, but the last 2 weeks for North, the one they should have beaten the Swans in, and then Collingwood they held on well in, but Essendon for me.
Expecting a dip from North, Bombers comfortably.
And finally, Giants versus Richmond, another massive game in this round.
Big game. This is my outsider. I can't believe Richmond are outsiders and pretty sort of wide outsiders. I think Richmond will get their win that they've been searching for. Giants, terrific last week against the Cats, but it's almost the game plan, GWS modelling their game plan on Richmond, but I think Tigers too good.
I'm GWS on this in a big way. I think Richmond's magic is gone and has gone, and Damien Hardwick's absence now is not the bind that it once was, and I think they're just playing the way the latter position suggests.
Tigs for me.
Did you like the photo of Dimmer having a beer at 10 a.m. on a Sunday morning as well? Waiting for the game.
Yeah, liked it.
It was great.
I'm not sure why everyone's getting around that. I do that every week.
Can you recap your certainties quickly for us, boys?
Bulldogs to beat Geelong is my certainty.
Port to beat Hawthorn is my certainty.
I'm trying to remember what I did.
It's been a big day. We'll just play the audio next week.
I've got a lunch to get
to. Yeah.
No, I'll go Melbourne against Carlton because Carlton's let me down so many times.
All right, you can catch every game across round 12 on Triple M, starting with the Friday Huddle, live at 6 p.m. with Mark Howard, Luke Darcy, Jason Dunstall, Nathan Brown and Damian Barrett, the dodgeball team, before Carlton versus Melbourne at the MCG. This has been Triple M Footy's Midweek Rub, Joey, Daisy and Damian.
Been Triple M Footy's Midweek Rub with Joey Montagna, Daisy Thomas and Damian Barrett. Follow Triple M Footy on socials to get the latest news and highlights. And to live stream games or listen anytime, download the Listener app, LISTNR.